Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Did anybody feel some Jesus there? Did anybody? Anybody feel some hope in your despair? I'm so burdened that not one of you leave here today with a single heaviness on your heart or a difficulty that the Lord won't obliterate and move. Because he moved into the neighborhood. And he didn't come for nothing. He came to set the captives free and shatter every yoke and bring the fullness of his Father's love into expression in your heart and in your life. To open up your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. It's in the Christmas season, so we should have a few Christmas sermons. Hallelujah. As Bobby said in his ad, come on down to Impact Church where it's Christmas every day. It's Christmas every day. Glory. It's Christmas every day because he is the gift that keeps on giving, doesn't wear out. Doesn't run on batteries, doesn't break down, and it will never disappoint you. Glory. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 18. So I want you to look at the end of verse 17 there. It says, so the generations from Abraham to David are 14. David, captivity 14. From Babylon to Christ 14. In the end of verse 16, you see that Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they were intimate, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, she was a young girl. She could have been as young as 13, probably certainly 16 or under. Now, go explain that to your father. Now, she's betrothed, which means that she's already given in marriage to a man. Go and explain that to your fiance. Verse 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man, an upright man, he was not willing to expose her to publicly be shamed or disgraced. He decided that he, in his heart, thought about it, and he resolved that he would quietly and discreetly just put her aside, which meant literally they were going to have a divorce at that point. And he decided he would sever the marriage agreement and that they would then quietly be divorced. But while he thought, say while he thought, how many know what that means? That means he was thinking about the situation. He was pondering this whole situation in his heart. And while he was pondering it, and I would imagine if it were me, that would be some pondering that would be done with great emotion, great difficulty, and in a time of struggle and even personal pain. And he's in this place of pondering, going through this. These are very real circumstances that Joseph was going through. Very real. If you could put yourself in that situation and imagine the kind of hurt, the kind of pain, even sense of betrayal that he must have been working through while he was thinking about this. He had pondered in his heart and he said, I'm going to deal with this discreetly and I don't want to disgrace her. He said, I'm going to deal with this quietly and I'm going to deal with this secretly. While he was thinking about those things, it says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David. Now we read earlier in verse 16 and 17 there where Joseph was the son of Jacob. But the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Wow, this fellow's going through some stuff. Verse 21, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah saves. God is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And if you study where that passage comes from and the prophetic word of the sign about the virgin, it says that this will be a sign to you that you have absolute victory over all of your enemies. The sign of absolute total victory over all your enemies is the sign of the virgin shall conceive and bear with child. So you know that that sign is fulfilled, so you know then you also have what was promised, which was absolute total victory over every enemy. He moved in the neighborhood, and the Holy Spirit trucking came and brought every benefit and every privilege with him. It's good news we give you today. It's good news. So all this was done that the scripture would be fulfilled. Verse 24, then Joseph being aroused from sleep. How many think that would arouse you a wee bit? Joseph being aroused from sleep did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took him his wife, and he did not know her. They were not intimate until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. So we want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about how you take an unborn purpose of God in your life, how you nurture it and bring it into manifestation. Because I see that in this passage, that here was a man who was given a responsibility for a purpose of God. Something from heaven was released. Something was given to him to be a steward over a purpose of God. How do you care for, how do you nurture a supernatural promise? How do you bring it into manifestation in your world and in your life? And I think there's some principles here that can help us. Because how many know you have something that the Holy Spirit is impregnated you with? How many know the incarnation continues because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory? How many knows there are purposes from heaven, significant, wonderful things from heaven? They are miracles from the throne of God that God has deposited in you that you've got to care for, that you've got to nurture, and that you've got a responsibility to bring into manifestation. Boy, having that feller preach before me, that just got me stirred up, you know. It's got me going. Got me shuffling, glory to Jesus. Woo! Woo! Got happy feet and a happy heart. People of God, here are the people of God. Now, I believe very clearly when we study the Christmas story, we see that people were interceding. There was Simeon, there was Anna, there were many people. And I believe there were many people who got revelation. There were prophetic words. There was a stirring in the spirit. There was an aggravation in the spirit. There was a people that had a great expectation that this appears to be a season of wonder. This appears to be a season that are miraculous. And those who had their hearts and their eyes and their ears attuned to the spirit and attuned to what God was doing, they knew that God was about something in the neighborhood. And people understood that there was something significant about to take place for the people of God. So there's a promise. There's people who are waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. Now Joseph is given that responsibility to care for and nurture this silent invasion from heaven. Now I want to tell you this. What is God doing today? I know today I feel there is an agitation in the realm of the spirit. There is a stirring in the realm of the spirit. The prophetic is stirred up. The angelic is stirred up. I feel like the gates of heaven are opened up and God is pouring resources into the earth like never before. And I believe that he's looking for a people that he can pour this responsibility in. He's looking for a people whose hearts are attuned to heaven, who can receive this kind of a revelation. How wonderful was it for that teenager to be so attuned to heaven that she would dare receive such a word as that and embrace it in her heart and say, let it be unto me according to your word. And I believe there are words from heaven today that are as significant and maybe even more because of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And there are words from the throne today that are seeking for hearts that they can be germinated in and manifest in, that he can reveal his purpose in this last day and bring in a great harvest and bring many people into the kingdom of God. So I want to learn from Joseph. He didn't have a lot of lines in the Christmas story, but I believe we can learn a lot from his heart and a lot from the way he nurtured and cared for this child. I mean, God Almighty had to choose a father. He had to choose a protector. He had to choose somebody who would take responsibility. Man, I got that feller's anointing on me. I mean, anointing's transferable. You can transfer it with your voice, you know. Can you feel it? Man, his voice impacted me. Impact. We got to care. I believe there's something in my heart that I'm stirred up to care for. I'm stirred up to believe for. I believe there's something in your heart. And we want to see it. I believe there's things, some of the things that are in your heart, they're unborn promises that you might have quit on. There are things that have been spoken over your heart, and as you've gone through difficulties and circumstances, you've wondered about it and possibly even thought about discarding it and say, what's plan B? But I want to bring you back to plan A. I want to bring you back to that purpose that God deposited in your heart. I want to give you a few principles to help you steward that and bring it into manifestation today. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, what is God doing today? What promise of God is seeking fulfillment in your life? Let's just deal with four stages of bringing this revelation into manifestation. Number one, first of all, there's that thrill of expectation. Amen. You know, I was saying that to Cheryl this morning. I said, honey, what things are there in our heart? What deposits did God make in us? What deposits did he make in you that you were thrilled about, that you were excited about? And Cheryl started to remind me of different prophetic words and things that have been spoken over us and people of great skill and wisdom and people who know the mind and the heart of God have spoken to us. And she reminded me of prophetic words that I received when I was a teenager myself and the things that we had received together as a couple. And she says, those things still seek fulfillment in my heart. You know, when we receive them, they seem so incredible that literally our heads would spin and I embraced the sense of my own youth that, well, if God's going to do it, there's lots of time. But, you know, as you go on in years, you begin to ponder those things and that thrill of expectation needs to be there in your heart still. But, you know, Joseph had that thrill of expectation. It says Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Then when I go to India, still Pastor Jacob, who's there still often, the families in the church will ask him to find a wife or find a husband. And as a father in the Lord, he's often called upon, would you arrange a marriage for my son or for my daughter? And often if the parents are arranging it, they'll even invite him in and ask for his wisdom in it. But still in India, it's very odd today still in India for a man or a woman to seek out their own relationship. Still today, the tradition is very, very strong that your marriage is a legal agreement between your families. And sometimes these legal agreements have been made when those kids are just wee little children. And, you know, so there's still some struggles there because some kids, you know, they think you fall in love and they don't like that arranged stuff and all those things. But you see, back in their time, this is exactly what happened with Joseph and Mary. The parents got together and they made an agreement. So there's three stages of a wedding ceremony in their culture, three stages of a coming together of a couple. The first is that engagement where the families engage and they draw together literally the covenant agreements. And those covenant agreements are written and they come into understanding of them together. And then the next thing is where they have the betrothal now. See, the betrothal could be later on because they were too young. But the betrothal now is like a year of them getting to know each other. It's also a year of examination. Now think about this for Mary. In the betrothal time, literally, you would have to sit on the front porch in a lovely gown as the betrothed. And people could come and inspect you to make sure you were still a virgin. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? And there's that time of inspection. Imagine poor Mary knowing that I'm in the time of inspection and I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. That could be a wee bit embarrassing, could it not? And then you're telling everybody it was the Holy Spirit. It was God. He came and visited me. Right. She's not only pregnant out of wedlock, she's crazy. You ever met a lot of people you thought were crazy because they got a deposit of God in them that is out of this world? They just seem, they're nuts if they really believe that's going to happen in them. Well, I'm nuts with a lot of stuff. I am nuts with a lot of deposits of God. I am nuts about what he wants to do in and through me, what he wants to do in and through my family, what he wants to do in and through this church and our lives. I am nuts about it. And nuts means never underestimate the Spirit. Never. And you should be nuts about something. If you're not nuts about something, you should get nuts about something. But we want to deal with, first of all, the thrill of expectation. Mary was betrothed. They're in that planning, dreaming, building the relationship, and the future is awesome. Now, you might think, well, these planned marriages, maybe they didn't like each other. But I believe that with the response of Joseph when he said, I want to put her away quietly, if he didn't like the arrangement, he would have said, thank God she's pregnant. Let's get her over, get her examined, get her stoned. And I don't mean stoned. I mean stoned like a rock concert. And that's what they did back then. I mean, he could have taken her and said, she's found. He could have said, thank God, I never liked her anyways. The contract is null and void. But I believe he loved her. I believe he'd already given his heart to her. I believe he thought this was a great plan, because when he pondered it and when he thought about it, he was grieved over the whole thing. He says, I don't want to see her harmed. I'm going to deal with this quietly. You see, there you are. You're in that thrill of expectation. You're in that thrill of God has something wonderful in store for me. You're dreaming, you're planning, you're thinking about your future. And there's that period where, wow, I'm awesome. Isn't it wonderful? It's like David when he was anointed with oil and he went back to the sheep and he wrote that psalm. I am awesome. I am wonderful and fearfully made. Who knew that when I was knit together in my mother's womb, I was born to be a king? You see, there's the thrill of that. Has anybody ever experienced that? Has there ever been a time when you were enraptured with the promises of God, the purposes of God, and everything before you was just bliss? Just a few people, the rest you have. Quite honestly, that's the only way to live. The only way to live is to be blissed out on the promises of God. Amen? Well, let's go to number two. You ready? Number two is really exciting. The test of mercy. So the first one was the thrill of expectancy, and the next is the test of mercy. The alliteration in this sermon will be found on the and the second word in the statement. You will notice that the second word will always have a T. And God graciously gave me the third one this morning. It was awesome. I was having a hard time with the third one, but he gave it to me, and you'll love it when we get there. Now, the test of mercy. There is always going to be a test. Every vision, every dream, everything that God calls you to do, it's going to be challenged. It's going to be tested. You're going to have the thrill of expectancy, but you're going to go through times of misunderstanding, of wonder. You're going to go through a period where you go, my God, was I thinking right? Should I really have had my heart so full? Should I have really thought so much about what God wanted to do with me? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was crazy. Maybe I better go to plan B. Maybe I better just put that aside and choose to do something else. Maybe my thoughts were too lofty. Maybe the prophet was crazy. Has anybody ever been there? Hey, I have. I tell you, my dreams have gone through trials so many times. And even in this last little while we've been through, I mean, I felt, you know, Lord God, give me plan B. Hanging on to plan A has been so hard. But God has firmly convinced me, son, I'm never going to give up. Son, I'll always be faithful. I'm not the one in question here. What are you going to do? And this was a test of mercy. How will I respond to this situation? You see, now here it is. It says, not wanting to make her a public example, it was minded in him to put her away secretly. In that situation, you have an opportunity to respond, and every unborn promise of God will experience a challenge. And how you respond to the challenges of the unborn purpose of God in your life is a critical, critical season. Because how you respond right now will determine whether that seed will be nurtured and brought into its manifestation or not. Joseph was in a very critical time. Joseph was chosen by God to care for this child, because there was a very ruthless king in that day that was ready to kill every child that was born in that day, because he knew that there was another king on the horizon, and he dared to lift himself up before God and come against the purposes of God. And there needed to be a father here who knew the mind of God. There needed to be somebody who would care for this precious little seed that would be placed into the womb of a teenage child. You have responsibility to care for an unborn purpose. And there's many unborn purposes in this house. There's many that you've seen, partial manifestations of these things. But there's so much more. And as you continue to care for it, you continue to nurture it, and you continue to respond with the grace and the mercy of God to the circumstances you go through, you're going to see the glory of God preserved in your life. I'm preaching better than your amen, I tell you. Number three. This one came to me this morning. I had it in brackets, the exercise of faith, but I wanted a T word. I kept on trying to mess. I couldn't find it. And I said, I got to think more abstract. I got to think somewhere else. Oh, the trigger of faith. No, that's good. I said, honey, I got my T word this morning. I said, the trigger. She said, oh, that's good. Some of you might think I'm a bit silly with all that alliteration, but I like it. I like doing it. I think it's fun. The trigger of faith. It says, now listen now. He didn't say Joseph, son of Jacob. When the angel of the Lord comes, he doesn't appeal to your natural background or where you're from, but he appeals to the eternal destiny in your life. He appeals to the divine deposit of God that is in you. He didn't say Joseph, son of Jacob. He said Joseph, son of David. Son of David, because when you understand that you're a son of David, you understand that you're somebody with a kingdom line. You're somebody with royal blood pulsing through your veins. You're somebody who's got a promise, a kingdom promise that's in your heart and in your life. And the Lord appealed to the whole aspect of the messianic promise. He appealed to the messianic promise, and he appealed to the prophetic revelation in his heart. Are you willing to stand up and be the son of David? Oh. Man, that was good. Let me say it again. Are you willing to stand up and hear the call of heaven and the appeal in your life of the Son of David? Yeah. Who already had, some of you already had turkey? Some of you already eaten turkey already? I love that. You know, every promise must be birthed through faith in God's word. You know, God's word doesn't do it. God's word is God's word. But you see, the only way God's word is going to be released in your life is when you pull the trigger of faith. See, when you release your faith, you take that word and you take that word and you put it in to the cartridge. You put it in to the slot. You put it in to the gun. I don't know what you call those things. In the chamber. Thank you. You put that in the chamber and then you load it up and you pull the trigger of faith and you release your destiny. Man, Joseph, son of David, Carl, son of David, Bill, son of David. You know, Bill, I tell you, there's so much promise still to be released in your heart and in your life. And could you dream again? Is it still plan A or is it plan B or is it something else? But I know it's still plan A. And there are words that are even spoken over you and things that you had even as a child that were stirred up in you and you thought, oh, and you know, you have manifested the test of mercy. You've experienced what it is to walk through that period of grace and that test of mercy, and there is a deposit of God in you that I tell you, in these days you will walk to and fro through the nations of the earth, and your voice will be lifted up, and you will declare the very word of God to a generation that will be prepared by God to receive it. Well, that was all right. I thought that was okay. All right, that was all right. Every promise got to be birthed in that realm of faith. You got to release your faith. You got to believe that. And as he informs our faith, our hope is strengthened to trust him in our circumstances. He informs our faith because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the information, the word of God. And you see, after he made the decision, I love her. After he made a decision in that test and place of mercy to manifest the nature of God, God turned and he spoke to him and he said, let me now inform your faith. And he gave him information now about what was really going on. And he said, don't be afraid. Number one, he's always going to tell you, don't be afraid. Many people, their vision is quenched by fear. Many people, they turn aside with fear, doubt, and unbelief because this seems too awesome. It seems too crazy for me to believe again. There's too many things have to line up. There's too many people who oppose me, who stand in my way. But God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He also then gives you that word. He gives you the information. He gives you the word, and then he also tells you that he gives you that divine direction, and then he tells you it is of the Holy Spirit, which means he gives you divine involvement. That was good. Amen. Don't be afraid. He gives you the information. He gives you the divine direction. And he promises you divine involvement in your destiny. You just got to show up. You just got to show up. My, every promise must be birthed through faith in God's word. He informs your faith. Your hope is strengthened. You begin to trust in him. And you trust him through these circumstances that God is going to bless you. And he's going to bring you through. Let's go on now to number four. The triumph of obedience. The triumph of obedience. It says he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him, isn't that lovely? And he took to him his wife. He didn't take to him, you know, that pregnant girl. You know, I think about it today. What he must have been going through. What kind of faith did both these kids have to embrace the promise of God? Embrace that promise. He said he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took him his wife, and then he had that child, and he took that child as his own, and he named that child Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. Now listen, coming to a screeching conclusion. That means I'm going to scream louder. No, Herod can't touch you if you're in the place of obedience. Good point, Pastor. When you're in the place of obedience, you're in a place of immunity. Well, because you know what? Herod will come after your dreams. Herod will come after. He heard the word that was spoken. He heard. He brought in all the prophets. He heard the things that were spoken. And he will come after that word and try to steal it before it's conceived in your heart and before it manifests. But you know, Herod cannot touch you in the place of obedience. Your future is secure in the place of obedience. Jesus is manifest in the place of obedience. Amen. Well, let's just quietly leave and get ready to come back tonight for turkey. Oh, I got another slide. Give me another slide there. What do we got? Where are you in the process of realizing the unborn promise of God? Where are you? I tell you, don't give up, because all his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You got to release mercy, then trigger faith, then keep it in that place of obedience, and your frustrated dreams, over all your frustrated dreams, and allow Jesus to manifest himself. Come on, just bow your heads right now. Just open your minds and bow your heads, close your eyes, and all that fine stuff. You know what? I know it. I know it. I'm blessed. I thank God for speaking to me this week about this. And I know he touched my heart afresh and anew. He just touched my heart, just pushed my buttons a little bit, just to be a little more violent about the things he's spoken over my life. You know, I'll tell you, there's promise here today for you. You know, many of you have unborn promises, you know, and the only way to not see it is to abandon it or let it go. But there are seeds and deposits of God that he's made in your heart and your life. And I know many of you, you've gone through circumstances. I mean, stuff happens. And, you know, the enemy comes. And I mean, Herod will come and he'll try to rob you of it and steal it from you. But I tell you, no word of God is without power. No word of God is without power to bring forth what he desires to manifest. You know, God wants you to be a good steward over those unborn promises in your life. And he'll surely bring them to pass. Sometimes it'll take some weird turns that you don't expect, but I tell you, if in those places you stay in the posture of grace and you stay in the posture of mercy, you're going to see God work those things out. Because you know what? He doesn't give you these things to frustrate you or disappoint you. I believe even today, right now, that it's like he's seen your heart. He's really seen that you've embraced the frustration and you've gone through it with a tender heart and with mercy. You've chosen the place of grace. In the place of misunderstanding, you've decided to manifest understanding and grace and concern. And God has seen your heart. And I know for many of you, I know it because the Lord told me that for many of you, this is a word to you, because you are the son of David. You are the son of David, and you needed something to quicken, something, just a word to touch your faith. And this is very much prophetic to many of you, because it's time for you to dream again. As I tell you, we're going into 2010. We're going into a time where those first 10 years, I believe 10 is a type of testing. And I believe this whole first 10 years of this new millennium has just been that test. And many people have gone through the test. Many have experienced many visitations of God. But you know, they haven't nurtured the promise. They haven't cared for it. They haven't just been so precious. Every promise is so precious. They haven't watched over it. And they allowed those things to wane, and they've wallowed back, and they found themselves in the mire, and where the river was flowing, they've fallen off into the salty areas. God has seen you, that you've stayed in the center of the river. You've stayed in the center of the flow. You haven't allowed things to pull you to the side or distract you. Hear the voice of the Lord, son of David. son of David. This is of God. The deposit in you is from me, and I will surely bring it into manifestation. Trust me. Pull the trigger of faith and know that I will bring this into manifestation. Only obey me, and Herod will never be able to touch your dream, because obedience is a place of immunity, and it will surely be brought to manifestation. Yes, Lord. Hey, just with your eyes bowed, your head closed, just do something. This is just for me, okay? Just for me. If you heard that word and that was for you today, would you put up your hand and say, just wave at me, say, Pastor, thank you, that was for me. Thank you, Pastor, that was for me. Thank you, Pastor, that was for me. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? And I believe that about you. I believe that so much about each and every one of you. I so desperately want to see you all just go blazing into all that he has for you. Hear it again, son and daughter of David, that God is for you. And he wants to fulfill these plans in and through your life. Well, Father, I just thank you for this house. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. I thank you for the many plans and dreams that you've given us, even corporately. And you know what? We're not going to back up on any of them corporately. Lord, there's things that as the body here, as one people, one mind, one heart, you've given us. And Father, even the times we've gone through those places of what is going on? Like this is, I was so excited. Now what is going on? But I know, Lord God, I hear your heart today. And for us as a people, as we're now nurturing again a wonderful, precious seed, as we're beginning to birth again a fresh, wonderful seed of impact in this region, Lord, I thank you for now allowing us to conceive again, to conceive and privileging and honoring us to birth something fresh and new. So, Father, we thank you. We're going to keep it in the realm of obedience. We're going to keep it in that place of immunity. We're going to nurture this. We're going to nurture this promise and this purpose of God, and we're going to see it flourish and bring God is salvation into the neighborhood. So, Father, I bless your people today. I just minister grace and strength to every one of them. I just pray you be with each and every one. Let them know the tangible knowledge of your life and your love with them. So I send them now with the love of a wonderful Father, with the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with the ongoing intimate fellowship of Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name.